I've got an awesome Acoustic Tuesday show in store for you today, but first, I've got a bit of a wager for you. I'm willing to bet that at some point in your guitar journey, someone has said to you, hey, you have to learn all the notes on the fretboard. And if somebody hasn't said that yet, I'm willing to bet in the near future, they will. And I know what you're thinking. As a guitar geek, you look at the fretboard, you think to yourself, I have to memorize all this stuff? That's just a lot, and I don't want to memorize anything. I just want to play guitar and have fun. Well, I've got really good news for you. You don't have to memorize anything to find any note. In fact, I'm going to show you today that you don't have to memorize a darn thing. If you follow a simple framework, you'll be able to find any note on any string. But there's three crucial things that you need to be able to find any note on any string. And that's first, the musical alphabet starts on A, ends on G, and then repeats. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, so on and so forth. The next thing you have to remember is that there is a measuring device that we use on the guitar. And it's called a whole step and a half step. Okay, a whole step on the guitar equals 2 frets, and a half step equals 1 fret. In fact, this is so crucial, I want you to write it down. A whole step equals 2 frets, and a half step equals 1 fret. The final thing that you need to know are the critical pairs. B, C, and E, and F. It's an easy way to remember it. Big, crazy elephants fight. That's what they do. They're big and crazy, and those elephants, they fight. B, C, and E, and F are critical pairs. Why are they critical pairs? Well, because between B and C, and between E and F, there's a naturally occurring half step. Between all the other pairs of natural notes, there's a naturally occurring whole step. So just remember B, C, E, F, big crazy elephants fight, there's a half step between those pairs. Now that we have that knowledge, let's go ahead and take it to the guitar's fretboard. We're gonna start on the A string, okay? So there we are on the A string, right at the beginning of the musical alphabet. The next natural note is a B, and that means, okay, not a critical pair, so there's a whole step in between A and B. That means 2 frets. So the 2nd fret of the A string, bam, that's a B note. Now we're on B, the next natural note is a C. B and C is a critical pair. That means there's a half step or 1 fret in between those notes. So from the B note, I go up 1 fret, bam, 3rd fret of the A string is a C note. C to D, not a critical pair. That means there's a whole step in between, 2 more frets. 5th fret of the A string is a D note. D to E, another whole step, up 2 more frets. Bam, 7th fret of the A string is an E note. E to F, we're getting to critical pair territory, so that means there's only a single fret in between E and F because there's a half step there, so from that E note, we go up 1 fret, boom, that's an F note. F to G is a naturally occurring whole step, 2 more frets, so the 10th fret of the A string is a G note, and then we have G to A because the musical alphabet repeats, another naturally occurring whole step, 2 more frets, bam, the 12th fret of the A string is an A note. So there you have it. That is the musical alphabet applied to a single string, and there you have it. You were able to name any note on that string. Now I know what you're thinking. Tone, you never said sharps or flats. I actually don't want you to pay any attention to sharps or flats. Just remember the natural notes. That will get you through every note on every string. And if you're wondering, if you're truly still wondering where those sharps and flats are, anytime you go up a whole step, you leave a fret in between those notes. Right there, that fret that you skip, that's an accidental, a sharp or a flat. So there you have it. You can apply this to any string. All you have to do is adjust the starting point, right? So if you want to find any note on the E string, just look at the musical alphabet, start it in E, and then progress from there. If you want to start on the G string, look at the musical alphabet, start on the G, and then progress from there. It's the same exact scenario. Just remember the musical alphabet, our measuring device, whole step equals 2 frets, half step equals 1 fret, and then of course the critical pairs, B and C and E and F. Both of those pairs have a naturally occurring half step in between them. Every other natural pair of notes has a naturally occurring whole step. That's it. So in the comments below, let me know if this created a light bulb moment for you, or let me know how it helped you on your guitar journey. Also, if there's a tip that has helped you that I maybe forgot, you can leave that in the comments as well. All right, this week on Acoustic Tuesday, you've already learned how to find any note on any string. We're gonna head down to Vegas and take a look at a glorious, a stunning guitar from the folks at Heartbreaker Guitars, and we're gonna listen to an acoustic duo that is the definition of pure acoustic brilliance. I cannot wait for you to hear them. That is all coming up right after this. I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar geeks, unite. Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode 128. This is the show where you're going to learn about acoustic guitar gear, discover acoustic artists, and get inspired to live your very best acoustic life. As with every episode of the show, I'm going to dig into my guitar geek list for the week. But prior to doing that, since we're talking about acoustic guitars, since you're a guitar geek, I want to offer up a little inspiration, a little coaching tip to help you wade through all the things you likely want to work on. Because listen, as guitar geeks, we all have this massive list of things we want to get better at. And that can be overwhelming. And if we know anything, overwhelm leads to indecision. Indecision leads to playing the same five things we've always played. And playing the same five things that we've always played leads to the dreaded guitar rut. I don't want you to end up in a guitar rut, hence this tip of the day. So, of all the things you want to work on, I want you to make a list. Write every single thing down. Once you have everything down on paper in a list, I want you to prioritize that list according to fun. So take everything you've written down, and then in the top position, put the most fun thing, and at the bottom position, put the least fun thing. And here's what I want you to do next, and this is important. I want you to start with the most fun thing. And this week, I challenge you for that to be your sole intention when you practice your guitar. Yes, one single thing to focus your energy on, because I guarantee you by the end of this week, if you put that focus on that one thing, you're going to make some serious strides towards that goal, if not achieve it just this week. You'll be amazed at how much progress you can have in just a single week when you focus on fun, because we know that fun fuels progress. So make that list, reprioritize it according to fun, and then pick out the single one thing, the most fun thing, and focus your efforts on that this week. That's my challenge to you. So with that being said, let's move on to our next item of the day, and that is indeed Guitar Geek Trivia. Now, your Guitar Geek Trivia question today involves a tone wood that is somewhat mythological. It's larger than life and has quite a story, so keep that in mind as I ask you this question. Here's your question. In the year 2004, Tunnel 13 Redwood was salvaged and used by guitar makers like Paul Reed Smith, Petros, Preston Thompson, Santa Cruz Guitar Company, Bourgeois, amongst many others. Where did the celebrated Redwood's namesake come from? Was it A, a railroad tunnel between Oregon and California, B, an abandoned mine shaft located in Nevada, C, the Lincoln Tunnel in New York, or D, Lower Wacker Drive in Chicago? Go ahead and ponder that, and at the end of the show, I'll not only give you the answer, but the very interesting story that goes along with where that redwood originated from. It's actually, for you history geeks out there, it's going to be a real good day. It's this cross-section of history and guitar geekism. That's like a magic moment. We're going to experience that together. I can't wait. But we have to dig into the guitar geek list first. And coming up is, well, let me just be honest. It's cold in Bozeman. It's winter. There's snow. And I could use a trip. So I figured I'm going to take you all to Vegas with me. We're going to go visit Brendan at Heartbreaker Guitars, and we're going to lay our eyes on the Heartbreaker of the Month, which has an interesting story that I'm going to tell you about when I get back. But first, here's Brendan with the Heartbreaker of the Month.
Hey guys, what's going on? It's Brendan from Heartbreaker Guitars, and it is time for the Heartbreaker of the Month. Now, in our eyes, every Loudon is a Heartbreaker of the Month because these things are just insane. But this F50, you gotta check out. What we got going on with this F50 Loudon, we've got a master grade California cedar top over some lovely master grade Hawaiian koa. Now, I really like this one because it's got the maple five-piece neck. Most of the times these are spec'd out with mahogany, and I just like the feel of the maple. It's nice and hard, it's silky smooth in your hand, and they're just great. Okay, we got an ebony board, ebony head facing, ebony backstrap overlay, go-toe gold tuners with black ebony buttons, and what else we got? We've got a Zerikote bridge, and this beautiful wooden sound hole rosette with the abalone purfling. This is flame maple binding throughout. Okay, Tony, Acoustic Tuesday fans, that's a wrap. That's the heartbreaker of the month, the Loudon F50 Cedar Koa. Hope you enjoyed it. It's Brendan and Toby the Beagle signing off from the Heartbreaker Lounge in Las Vegas. Tony, back to you.
Well, I want to thank Brendan and Toby and, of course, Juan John, the stunt double for the lead singer of Disturbed, for playing that Loudon F50 so darn well. In fact, one of the things that I'm really happy about Juan John's playing with that particular guitar is that that guitar, now I have a story about that guitar. Maybe not that exact one, but a guitar that had the same exact specs from Loudon that was in the running when I purchased my Bourgeois back in September. But one of the things I like about Juan John's playing on that guitar is that the articulation and almost the snap that comes from that combination of tone woods is on full display with his playing. And I just love it. So I appreciate everybody over at Heartbreaker Guitars. It's so cool that you all are involved in the Acoustic Tuesday show, and we get to see some really stellar instruments from your showroom. Now, as I mentioned before, I played when I was at Heartbreaker back in September. I ended up leaving with a Bourgeois large sound hole OM cutaway. Gorgeous guitar, figured mahogany back and sides, bear claw Sitka spruce top. That's great. That's not the guitar I want to talk about though, because there was one other guitar that was in the running and I kept going back and forth. It was the Bourgeois that I walked away with and a Loudon with Koa back and sides. And I have to tell you this, if the Bourgeois did not have a sunburst, I probably would have went home with the Loudon. Okay, I'm a sucker for a sunburst, and it just was eye-catching, and it got me. Yes, it sounds good, but that's what sold me on that guitar. It was purely aesthetic. Now, the Loudon. Let's focus on the Loudon, because what I got from that Loudon when I played it was this beautiful airiness and this wonderful crispness from that Koa, and holy smokes, was it a comfortable guitar to play. I mean, from fretting full chords to single notes, it handled alternate tunings unbelievably well. I'm talking like a low C on the bass end, and it was very clear, ringing. It didn't die out. It was really, really awesome. So I'm really happy to see that guitar as a Heartbreaker of the Month, and I cannot give it enough accolades because, well, it's a downright stellar instrument. And I want to encourage you to check out Heartbreaker Guitars. To learn more about Heartbreaker Guitars and that particular guitar, please visit acousticlife.tv/AT128. And furthermore, in the comments below, let me know what you thought about that Loudon from Heartbreaker Guitars. Let me know. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Do you like Loudon? What's the deal? What'd you think? Let us know in the comments below, and I cannot wait to hear if you thought the same thing that I did. And if you didn't, that's okay too. We're guitar geeks. We can have a discussion. We're responsible, upstanding guitar geeks. And speaking of discussion, I want to head back to episode 126, where I featured 5 female blues players. And I want to read a couple of comments from that particular show. The first one comes from Aregua1. He says this, or she, "You are absolutely correct that Jessie Mae Hemphill is number one. She truly pumps out the blues with a serious down-home Mississippi Delta style. And she grooves with her music. I wish there was more known and talked about her. She wasn't recorded until later in her life, and a brain illness cut her recording career short. Great trivia question. Ma Rainey is definitely the queen of the blues. Well, thank you so much for watching, and thank you for the comment. Our next comment comes from C. Noel, and this is a list of awesome female blues players. Sister Rosetta Tharpe, Bonnie Raitt, Susan Tedeschi, Joanna Connor, Janet Robin, and of course, Rory Block. And for shame if you didn't include Nancy Wilson. Up-and-comers, Samantha Fish, Ariel Belvalier, Ariel B., and Eva Cortez. Granted, not all have an acoustic in hand, but I'm sure with their prowess, you'll let that slide. Indeed. In fact, I want to mention that for anybody looking for female blues players, maybe you looking to discover a new artist, please head to episode 126 because the comments are filled with amazing recommendations. Moving on to our next comment from David Eade. He says, great video. Tony, you should do a review of the Hill Country Blues players. R.L. Burnside, Junior Kimbrough, T. Model Ford, Sid Al Davis, and all those guys. Hypnotic Boogie Blues. And I've done a little bit of digging, and I've found a new genre that I really dig. In fact, unbeknownst to me, I had bought a Junior Kimbrough album a long time ago, and I was alphabetizing my records this weekend, as music geeks do. Whitney and I just moved, so I had to re-alphabetize some things. And I pulled out this record, and I thought, uh-oh, I think this is a sign. So I'm digging into the Mississippi Hill Country Blues, and I'm really, really liking it. In fact, I've even turned Whitney on to Jesse May Hemphill, and that I'm pretty excited about that. Our next comment comes from Key of B, very fitting since we learned how to find notes on the fretboard today. Tom Feldman teaches an all-acoustic DVD lesson on 5 to 7 of Mississippi Country Hill Blues, and it is fantastic. In fact, there's a link there that he included on his comment. That's back on episode 126. Well, I have to say, Key of B, I followed your link, and I may or may not have purchased 6 to 7 different lessons from Stephen Grossman and Tom Feldman. Really excited to find that. Like I said, once I dig into something, I really dig in. I'm talking like full on black hole of absorption. So yes, I've spent the weekend digging into those. And Tom Feldman is a teacher that I didn't know about before, but wow, incredible voice, incredible player, and a great instructor to boot. So thanks for that recommendation, Key of B. And thanks to everybody that commented back on Acoustic Tuesday episode 126 and all previous episodes of Acoustic Tuesday for that matter. I really appreciate the discussion that gets created and the wonderful kind of relationships that get formed even in the comments here with the Acoustic Tuesday show and our awesome guitar geek community. In fact, as I mentioned before, there's a wonderful list of female blues players back on that episode. And there's also a recommendation from username The Black Walnut, and they recommend an audiobook called Up Jumped the Devil. And this is a book about Robert Johnson, and it's also in my queue on Audible. So a lot of goodness coming out of that episode. In fact, speaking of goodness, you've listened to me. You've listened to me. And I'm so excited because I have a wonderful picture of one of our very own viewers who watches the Acoustic Tuesday show, who purchased some Acoustic Tuesday merchandise. And you might be thinking to yourself, Tone, Acoustic Tuesday merchandise, this is the first I've heard of this. Well, I'm happy to say that you can support the Acoustic Tuesday show by purchasing Acoustic Tuesday merchandise at acoustictuesday.store. Pick out your favorite t-shirt, socks, sweatshirt, whatever suits your fancy. Go ahead and order it. When you receive that order, put it on, take a picture of yourself with that awesome Acoustic Tuesday shirt on, and then submit it at acousticlife.tv. There's a submit link in the top menu. You can go ahead and click submit, upload your picture, tell your story. And here we have Chet Terry with his awesome shirt on and a great guitar with a story at that. Chet is from Berlin, Connecticut, and he says this: new acquisition, Kebmo serial number 001. Yes, it was found in Australia. Kebmo signed the back of the headstock at a show in Australia in April 2019. There is a. He also has a couple other guitars in the picture. There's a Taylor 855, hand-built Nick Sorensen Strat, and the headstock behind the stand is a Mule Tricone. Awesome. Just scored ticks to Billy Strings in New Haven in April, and I will travel to Knoxville in March to see Tommy Emmanuel. Stoked. Man, Chet, thank you so much for sharing that picture. Thanks for supporting the Acoustic Tuesday show, and also, what a hell of a guitar collection. Great concerts on your agenda as well. And I have to say, of all the Gibson models, of all the newly made Gibson models, the Keb Mo is my absolute favorite. I think aesthetically, it's awesome. Playability is great. And the sound is fantastic as well. I think Keb Mo and Gibson combined to create a pretty magical model. And I'm stoked that you have serial number one. That's pretty darn significant and very, very cool. All right, on to the mailbag. We've got some wonderful things here. I've got some new earplugs. Now, you might think, Tone, that's kind of lame. These actually aren't lame. There's a review that's coming up for these Eero's that I'm pretty excited about. And you might be thinking, Tone, you've reviewed a couple different earplugs. I've reviewed the Eargasm earplugs. I've reviewed the Loops earplugs. And now on to the Eero's. And I think they each have their kind of special superpower. And I can't wait to divulge that information to you all. Next arrival in the mailbag is, it's something that I thought was really dumb. And then upon opening the package, I stand very corrected. I have to eat crow, okay? It's the Soundbrenner Core. It is a wristwatch metronome. And when I saw that these first came out, they were doing a kind of a push and pretty much bringing about awareness to this product. I thought, I think that's silly. I don't think that's for me. And honestly, I'm pretty sure I used the words dumb. I said, I think that's dumb. And then they reached out and said, would you like to try it? And I thought to myself, Tom, you can't be judgmental. You should try it. I'm really happy I tried it. I'm going to do a full review on an upcoming episode of Acoustic Tuesday. But this thing is a little wonder tool for any acoustic guitar geek, really for any musician. And I'll tell you why when I review it, but holy smokes, I have to apologize because I just straight up judged it without having played it or without having actually used it. And after using it, I can see where it would come in handy big time. In fact, I used it all weekend with my Tom Feldman DVDs, and I just feel like a newly reborn guitar geek right now. But I have to be honest with you guys, you know, as much as I don't want to judge stuff right off the bat, sometimes I do. And in this case, I'm eating crow. Also, I want to mention I got some hot sauce that I took home. And I forgot to mention that I received it on the Acoustic Tuesday show. So I want to thank, I don't have that letter here either. I just brought it home and started to use this hot sauce. So I will bring it back and show you what hot sauce it is. So that's coming up on a future episode of Acoustic Tuesday. A lot of goodness coming down the pipeline for Acoustic Tuesday. Speaking of coming down the pipeline, I want to share with you our artist of the week. And this is an artist that I first heard about when I worked at Chicago, or when I worked at the Old Town School in Chicago. And I was a music buyer for the store. So I would buy CDs and things like that. And this name kept coming up on my order forms. Tony, order this week after week after week. And I'm like, how good is this? So I put the CD in my old computer at the time, and I was blown away by what I heard. I thought to myself, these sounds, these have to be traditional songs. These could not have been written in the modern era. I stand corrected, they were. And the artist I'd like to feature today on Acoustic Tuesday is Gillian Welch and David Rawlings. I wasn't sure I was going to feature these two because I thought to myself, I'm pretty sure everybody's heard of these folks already. But you know what? There's some new guitar geeks that maybe have never heard of Gillian Welch and David Rawlings. And I thought, I have to give them their time in the spotlight here because I cannot think of a better duo that just embodies all good things about acoustic music, from the instrument tone to the voice harmonies to the lyrical content to just their persona almost. It's magic. It's pure magic. In fact, I want you to check out this tune called Hard Times. I had a hard time, that was kind of a pun. I had a hard time picking out tunes to feature in this episode. I wanted to feature like six. I just don't have time to do that. So here's the tune, Hard Times, by Gillian Welch and David Rawlings. Thank you. I'm going to throw down another challenge for you today. I would challenge you to listen to that song in its entirety and try not humming it for the rest of the day. I'm pretty sure it's impossible, but hey, if you can make it through without having it totally stuck in your head, you are a better person than I, because I listened to that in preparation for the show, and that's literally all that was just rolling through my head all day. And I'm not complaining about it. I think it's pretty darn awesome. Next up, I want to share with you a song that is filmed in an interesting location, but it's another great example of their harmonies and just their kind of dynamic as a duo, as an acoustic duo, with such respect to not only space, but filling that space with meaningful notes, meaningful words. It's this fine line you can walk, especially with a guitar player that's just so awesome, like David Rawlings. He could play circles, but he exercises great restraint, adds amazing space, and makes room for lyrics, and it's so good. I'll let you listen to it. The song is called The Way It Will Be, filmed in the middle of a cafe. Here it is.
Throw me
So between the vocal harmonies and David's fantastic fills, in fact, that's the reason I selected that song, he exercises restraint, as I mentioned before, on these wonderful, subtle little fills that push the song forward, but they're not distracting in any way. It's not like this showpiece like Smoke and Solo, of which he's very capable of, but he really plays to the song, and I think that's one of the things I admire the most in his guitar work. Beyond that, just... again, the dynamic between the two, unreal. I've never seen anything like it. And I just, it's in fact, I'm just infatuated with it. I absolutely love it. The timbres of each of their voices mix beautifully. The timbres of each of their instruments mix beautifully. Gillian plays a vintage Gibson J50, I believe. And David plays a vintage, I want to say like 30s-ish Epiphone Archtop. And I can't, for the life of me, cannot remember the model. I want to say like an Olympia. I could be way off. If you know, please let me know in the comments below. I read about it at one point, and then it just flew out of my brain. But let's hear one more song. This song's entitled Tennessee. And again, it's just this duo on full display. They're good at everything. Here's the song. Did I mention I like these two? They're so incredible. And one last word before I dig into some albums. David Rawlings' style, I think, is the way he solos and the instrument that he solos on, that archtop, provides such a wonderful cutting, almost piercing type of timbre. Not in a bad way. You think sometimes piercing is like, oh, I can't listen to that. But this is just... He makes statements. Every single note, I feel, is so carefully chosen and so carefully played and put out there. It's an absolute treat to hear these two play. I had a chance to see them live here in Bozeman at the, it was at the Emerson. And it was in the middle of summer. The air conditioning either wasn't existing or didn't work or something along those lines. I was absolutely melting, as was the sold out audience, but everybody was just hanging on the edge of their seat for every little song. And it was a magical moment, easily one of my top five concerts of all time. Now, speaking of albums and listening to them play, usually I pick two or three albums of the artist. I just decided to go through the entire discography because that's how much I think these two are amazing. So starting with Gillian Welch albums, and which of course David Rawlings appears on, we've got Revival, released in 1996, Hell Among the Yearlings, released in 98, Time, The Revelator in 2001, Soul Journey in 2003, The Harrow and the Harvest in 2011, probably the best artwork on an album I've seen in recent history. Let's move on to some David Rawlings specific albums. Released in 2009, A Friend of a Friend. Then we have Nashville Obsolete, released in 2015, a killer album cover. And I want to say that's Willie Watson on the left. I'm pretty sure, not 100%, but I know they run in the same circle. And then lastly, released in 2017, Poor David's Almanac, which features, again, some amazing traditional songs, traditional-esque songs, I should say. I'll leave it at that. Make sure to check them out, and to learn more about them, please visit acousticlife.tv/AT128. You'll see links to purchase those albums. You'll see all of those performances in their entirety and some bonus ones that I couldn't leave them out. Well, we're ready to wrap up today's show, but we have to get to your history-infused guitar geek trivia question. As I mentioned before, this involves a mythical tonewood that actually has some very interesting historical elements to it. So as a reminder, here was your question. In the year 2004, Tunnel 13 Redwood was salvaged and used by guitar makers like Paul Reed Smith, Petros, Preston Thompson, Santa Cruz Guitar Company, Bourgeois, amongst many others. Where did the celebrated Redwood's namesake come from? Was it a railroad tunnel between Oregon and California? An abandoned mine shaft? The Lincoln Tunnel in New York? Or Lower Wacker Drive in Chicago? As much as I wanted it to be Lower Wacker Drive in Chicago, it was not. It was actually a railroad tunnel between Oregon and California. Check this out. Here comes your history lesson for the day. Southern Pacific Railroad's Tunnel 13 was constructed in the 1880s in the Siskiyou Mountains on the border of Oregon and California. The redwood timbers were finally removed from old Tunnel 13 and sold at salvage in 2004. Not only is this redwood perfect for producing beautiful guitars, not only has it been air-dried for over a century, this fabulous redwood was there in Tunnel 13 to bear witness to the sights and sounds of the, quote, last great American train robbery. On October 11th, 1923, Southern Pacific's Train 13, the Gold Special, pulling 13 train cars, stopped at Tunnel 13 to test its brakes before heading down the mountain. There, at Tunnel 13, the train was boarded by the three D'Ottermont brothers, a 19-year-old Hugh, and 23-year-old twins Roy and Ray. The D'Ottermonts planned to rob the train of the $50,000 rumored to be on board. Their carefully laid plans went completely awry when Roy placed too much dynamite to blow open the door to the mail car. The oversized explosive charge demolished the entire mail car, killing the U.S. mail clerk and destroying most of the contents. In the ensuing fire, smoke and confusion, their plan completely in shambles, not a cent gained, the D'Ottermonts killed the Southern Pacific engineer, brakeman, and fireman, then raced off into the mountains on foot. The D'Ottermont brothers managed to elude capture for 4 years, despite what was described as one of the largest worldwide manhunts in U.S. history. The redwood timbers of Tunnel 13 were there to hear it all. Now, funny thing, I heard about this redwood quite some time ago. In fact, played a ton of different guitars that Tunnel 13 Redwood was used on. And I just heard that it was from this abandoned train tunnel. And I thought, cool, that's neat. And then come to find out there's a bunch of history wrapped in. I'm mesmerized, and I feel even more fortunate to have played those guitars. And hopefully, at one point in time in your life, you can play one of those guitars as well. I know there's still quite a few floating around out there. All right. Well, that puts today's show at a wrap. We've gone over quite a few things. History, finding notes on the fretboard, all the good things. But let's take a sneak peek into next week to see what's going to happen on Acoustic Tuesday. Next week, you're going to learn one single secret to unlock every single scale on the fretboard. That's not a joke or a ploy. Get the scoop on the single most sought after back and sidewood, and get a report directly from the studio from one of our very own Acoustic Tuesday artists. Can you guess who it is? Can you just guess who reported to us from the studio? If you want to guess, go ahead and leave it in the comments below. If you can't think of who it is, don't worry. All you have to do is tune in next week on Tuesday for Acoustic Tuesday. It airs at 10 a.m. Mountain Time here on YouTube. And of course, for your Acoustic Tuesday fix in between Tuesdays, just visit AcousticLife.tv, where you can do a deep dive on anything I've ever featured on Acoustic Tuesday. Thank you so much for sharing your time with me today. Thank you for being a guitar geek. And remember, guitar geeks unite. I'll see you next Tuesday. Take care.